In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, in case you just might want to know, I didn't grow up poor, but certainly I didn't grow up rich. I did have some good friends who lived over on the other side of the tracks. If you would divide middle class into lower, middle, and upper, my family would probably have been close to the lower part of middle class. We lived in a row house. We never had air conditioning. I wore decent clothes, but they were from pennies. Certainly, never clothes with name brands printed boldly on the front of them. The most money my dad made in a week was usually around $100. As I grew up, I often dreamed of what it would be like to be rich, buying things for myself that my dad couldn't buy for me. It used to seem like everybody around me wanted to be the Joneses, the rich ones. Think about your grandparents, or think about their parents. Back in the early days of the 1900s, they didn't come to America as immigrants because they wanted to be poor here. They came to America because they thought the streets were paved in gold. Well, in this morning's reading that Elaine just read, St. Paul is writing a letter to his dear young friend Timothy. And Paul tells Timothy that God has a dream for Timothy that is far bigger and better than the American dream. Paul wants Timothy to know that we bring nothing, absolutely nothing, into this world when we arrive. And we cannot take anything with us when we leave this world. About 4 weeks ago, down the street from where we live in downtown, I found considerable humor as I stopped and read a sign that had been posted to a pole, taped there to the light pole. It said, "Big yard sale this Saturday. Entering the convent, everything really must go. Everything must go." Well, a friend of mine who lived in Brooklyn, New York, in the years that Ann and I lived there, he had a fascination with things. He loved to talk about his most recent purchase. 50 years ago, he bought every record that was brought on for sale, and he collected those Mont Blanc pens, the most expensive of fountain pens, and generally walked around with four of them showing in his pocket. He kept a wallet full of credit cards so he could buy anything he wanted whenever he wanted it. And he hoarded it all for himself. He found great pleasure in having anything he wanted. And the bumper sticker on his car said this: "The one who dies with the most toys wins." And would you believe? He was the local funeral director. Oh, St. Paul would undoubtedly have said to him, to Timothy, that that funeral director should have known better. After all, a funeral director ought to know that he's never seen a hearse with a U-Haul pulling behind it? Have you? Do you notice the increasing number of self-storage units being built around Baltimore for people to store all the stuff that they have bought, but stuff that they discover they don't really have use for? So they rent a storage locker in one of those orange buildings to store up for them for when? Tell me why. What's the sense of that? There are those shows, perhaps you've seen one of them on TV, Storage Wars or Auction Hunters. People leave their stuff in those lockers for so long and forget to pay the rent, and someone buys the contents at an auction for pennies on the dollar. Instead of focusing on all those temporary things in life, Paul says to Timothy, the real qualities of life are the real possessions we want to have in this life, like godliness and gentleness and humility and love. Instead of focusing on all those temporary things, St. Paul says to Timothy, it's the real things in life that we ought to invest ourselves in. Things like character, and as I said, godliness, gentleness, generosity. Those things may not get you rich in this life. They may not make you successful in the world, but they will bring you satisfied and relaxed one day to the gate of eternal life. That's what Paul says to Timothy. St. Paul says, you will be satisfied for a time with the things around you, but God will see that you're content and try to move you along. So what is that kind of life that Paul's talking about? What kind of life does that really look like? Well, let me close with a brief story that I believe shows what the important things in life really are. You may remember the moment. It was September 20th in 2001, 9 days after that awful, horrible event at the Trade Towers. The New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers were meeting that night in Philadelphia for a preseason game. It was the night that President George Bush was to speak to the American people in the Congress of the United States to speak about the events of the Trade Towers. And as the intermission clocked away on that field clock at the stadium, the president's speech that had been broadcast on the Jumbotron during the intermission was suddenly cut off. So the game could begin again. And on that night, 9 days, after we watched those trade towers implode, the 19,117 fans in that stadium began to chant, "Leave it on! Leave it on!" The president's address to the nation was put back on to the jumbotron, and quietness fell over that stadium, and the teams and their coaches backed up and sat down on the benches. And they watched as the president spoke to the entire Congress gathered there in the capital of the United States. And as the Congress stood to give the president a unanimous standing ovation, the entire crowd in the Colosseum stood up, all 19,000 plus of them, and gave the president a standing ovation. By the time the speech had ended, the players on both of the competing teams decided that there were more important things than playing hockey. They called the game to end and proclaimed a 2-2 tie. There are more things in life than things. Among those things are humility, godliness, fairness, decency, honesty, gratitude, generosity. And with that, I'll leave it all for you to ponder. Amen.